to do this. Praising him, worshiping him, is also in that category. It says Philippians 2:9-11, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Yes.
Things in heaven, things on the earth, things up underneath the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is
Lord.
Lord.
To the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father.
Oh, Jesus, you are Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are Lord.
Praise you.
Oh, praise your name.
Hallelujah.
You are Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no other so sure and steady. My hope is held in his hands.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. When castles crumble and breath is fleeting, upon this rock I will stand.
Yes.
Yes.
Upon this rock I will stand. Glory, glory. We have no other King but Jesus, Lord of all. Praise the anthem, our loudest praises ring. We crown him Lord of all. Your kindly rule shattered and broken, the curse of sin's terror.
Jesus.
Glory, glory, we have no other King but Jesus, Lord of all.
Of his presence, and that's why it's him in us showing him glory, because our glory belongs to him, right?
Amen.
And like it says, like the word sharper, a two-edged sword. Glory is two-edged, didn't it?
Yeah.
And also, this is something to think about. I don't want to do a false doctrine or anything, but I was thinking, okay, the Bible says that Christ is in us, the hope of glory, and we're in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since you're that way, David, are you in me? Spiritually speaking, as one spirit, are you in me? You are, aren't you? I'm not sure yet, but you know, so if we get a hold of how we are one body in each other, whoo! Can you imagine the power of this congregation and the church? Because if Charles is in me, spiritually speaking, because he's in Christ and Christ is in me, this is who's connected to the Lord as one spirit. So we're all one spirit, the spirit. Boy, that's strong. But I'm not sure yet. So I don't want to say anything wrong, but you follow me, David? Mm-hmm.
We're part of the same body.
Yes.
That's like how we can come in here on Sunday morning and basically speak one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's from
good,
the spirit.
That's good.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. He's by the Holy Spirit, we're connected.
Yes. And he's in us through Jesus, God the Father. You know, we're all God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's in us through the Holy Spirit.
We can operate individually and collectively.
Yes.
Even when we don't know it.
Well, see, my finger can operate individually, but it's collectively because I can't do it without the rest of me. If it was cut off, I couldn't do it.
Right.
Ooh, that's why you have to stay close to each other, because you don't want to be... Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be cut off, but I mean, you can kind of not use it.
Cut yourself off.
Right. It's still there, but you're not using it.
Ready to take it place.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, James.
God is good. What he put on my heart is knowing God.
Is what?
Knowing God.
Ooh, glory.
Out of all the things that we can do, that's what makes us effective.
Yes.
Right now, we want to see a great grand revival. But when the Lord, Daniel said, and this is Daniel 11:32. He's speaking, and I'm just taking an excerpt out of what he's saying. He said, "Such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries." He's talking about the false prophet. False prophet and the Antichrist. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Of myself, I can't do the impossible. I'm very limited. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. It's frustrating. It's aggravating. And you see the needs and you want to do something. But if I can operate in Him, I can do all things. And Daniel didn't say that. He said, this is what he pointed out, the most distinguishing thing about his, about God's people. He said, they that do know their God shall be strong, even in the worst times, and do exploits. They'll be able to finish God's will and solve many problems, even though they're under vicious attack. They can't buy food. They can't buy, at this point, you know, they will have implemented the mark of the beast and everything, and the enemy would have thrown everything he had at God's people. But that day in the tribulation, and this is the worst part, but they that be strong, they that know God, will be strong and do exploits. Now, if they can do it, we can do it. Mm-hmm. Knowing God makes the difference. When the Lord first called me to the ministry, I didn't want anything to do with it. I wanted to be a blessing to God's people, but I knew that I didn't know what to do, and that was frustrating. And when he gave me my first message, that's when I was interested. I was not interested before that. I was obedient, but I was reluctant and I didn't want to do it. But I said, I got to do this. So he told me, I got to do it. And I didn't like it, but I was going to do it anyway. But when he gave me my first message, I said, that's the first time I was interested. When we, whenever we make choices and decisions throughout our lives, we do the best we can do. We're putting something in motion that can't be reversed. And if it's good, it's going to work to the positive. If it's bad, it'll continue to, you know. If you discourage somebody and they act on that discouragement, it starts a process in their life. Only God can heal it. But when we know God, all the advice we give, the response we give to people, it'll be of Him. Even when we don't know it, knowing God makes the difference. A revival can be started by knowing God. If we try to do a revival without knowing God, it's not going to work right. Jesus said, "They that don't build with me scatter." If we don't build with Him, we scatter. Because then our logic comes into play. What we think, our will is strong. Our will is already strong. But when we focus on the Lord, we can, and we get to know Him, we say, oh, I didn't know that. Every day I'm saying, wow, that's good. Or I see that God thinks of everything. It amazes me all the time when the Lord explains Himself. And the way we know God is spend time with Him. Mm-hmm. Receive His word inside and just spend time enjoying it and spend time with Him. Ask Him all your questions. And when God gives you something to do, or if He calls you to do something or give you an assignment, it's well thought out and you fit that assignment. And the way to manifest it is to just draw near to Him and get to know Him. Knowing God will put you in another category. You won't have all the knowledge and wisdom you need, but God, if you act on what God is saying, do. Every time you act on what He say, you're putting something in motion that the enemy can't stop, and it can't be reversed. Every time. God can. You may not know what's going on in a person's life, but He'll give you His wisdom to speak. Coming from you, the person may think you're smart, or they'll know that God is with you, mm-hmm. and they'll trust that advice and they'll do it. People trust your advice based on your character. So you live the life of Christ, and it amazes people. So whatever you say is way up here. Even when you disagree with something, if they disagree with what you said, but because you said it, they have to consider it, because it's coming from you, and your report is way up here. So when they say, well, Mary said this, or Charles said this, other people that know you will Okay, well, we got to look at it. They'll take a second look at it, another glance at it, even if it's wrong. But when it's right and when it's of God and when it's a fresh word from the Lord, they'll say, David said this. Okay, well, they take another look at it. They know that David don't steal. He don't hurt anybody. They know this. They watched him for years, and he give good advice. And now he's saying something that they have to take a second look at. People that don't know God, they toy with the knowledge they receive. They think about it. And then if they receive it, it becomes faith, and they'll act on it. People watch you all the time. And when they see you living the knowledge that God has revealed to you, it speaks volumes. It can start a revival all by itself. When we things that I would take for granted, God don't. I pray and I ask questions, and then these are the kind of things you learn as you ask them questions. And he told me some amazing things, and I'm like, wait a minute, how can that be? And then over time, I learned more and more. I said, okay, I see it, but I don't always see what God is talking about. But for years, he had me teaching about following God. The revelation of what I understood was that drawing near to the Lord and learning from Him, keeping Him first. Like when He gave me my first message, the pressure was off me. I didn't have to sweat to come up with something to say. He gave it to me, and all I had to do. It's just like if somebody handed me this, all I have to do is read it. He gave me what to say. I know what he gave me. So I just convey it off like an inkjet printer. Inkjet printers don't think. They react. Well, we're better than that. We can receive a message from the Lord, and we can minister it. People will think we're smart, and we're not. And then we can go back and study that message. Because I know what he said, I know his standards, I know what he's saying, I can tell that it'll work, and I know who he's talking to, and I see how he's responding to people, and so that kills me, and that's how I respond to people in their need. When I studied the stories of, David had problems, and then he cried out to the Lord, and I saw what God told him to do, and then he did it. Or some things, because of his relationship, he knew what to do, or he knew what not to do. God delivered Saul into his hands, but he knew not to kill him, because that was God's anointing. He knew not to do that. He let God judge him. And he would have been an instant king. Some people would have been, gave him into my hands, and I killed him. Now I'm the king, because I was anointed by Samuel. And it could have went over, but David knew that that was not God's way. And sometimes when you learn from the Lord, you know what's not God's way. You suspect it, and you act on it.
Because
you know God.
Yeah, and I had just heard something say that you can do something, and it could be like in the world, or just in some way it's like the right way, but if it's not God's way, then it's not.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
It won't fit in this plan. That's what the huge mistake that many people, many believers, good Christians, even Word of Faith preachers, people that love God's Word, if your will is too strong, you'll write your own sermon instead of letting God reveal to you what to say. And sometimes people don't want to deviate from what they've written. You see somebody with a need, and he'll take them off track, off the sermon pages, and minister to somebody. Some people are reluctant to do that. And I've seen all these kind of things happen. Fasting helps tame your will. Your will can be just like a wild horse. But when you look into the Lord, it's kind of like driving down a long road. If you look right in front of the car, it's a bumpy ride because you're making adjustments. But when you're looking way down the road, you make smooth adjustments. When you're looking at the Lord, you say, well, your mind is on what he's got you doing and saying and the outline you've done. And then, but he causes you to go to another direction. That's flowing with the Lord. I used to have to write about flowing with the Lord. And when you flow with him, You leave the 99 and get the one. And you watch, and if you pay attention to what God is doing, you see the wisdom. And nobody leaves shorthanded. Everybody receives when you know God. That's the difference it makes. You catch on better. Things the Holy Spirit bring to your attention, you're more apt to catch on to it and hold on to it. The coming storm, when, you know, the Lord see the storm coming, and he'll give people his word so they can not only endure it, but thrive in the process.
You know, that puts a stronger meaning to me anyway, when Jesus said, not my will, but thine will be done. Yeah,
he always
took Jesus to the cross and to hell by saying those words. Can you imagine if we realize how powerful those words are? Uh-huh. A lot of times we're flippant with it because we say, according to your will and stuff like that. But that, not my will, but thine will be done, got Jesus through.
Everything.
Helped him get through everything. Mm-hmm. And so if we have a revelation of those words in our life, mm-hmm. it will be an anchor for us, wouldn't it, if we speak them with that faith and power behind it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why Satan likes to use it flippantly with believers. You know, like, according to your will, or, you know, you think, well, then you'll take care if I don't. But that's powerful. Mm-hmm. Jesus, not my will, but thine will be done. And because of that, he went to the cross.
When you know God, you stand.
Yes.
When you know God, you don't just survive this life. You may start out surviving, but you begin to thrive.
And that's what Mary was talking. It has to be a daily meeting.
You can't do it malnourished.
No, that's good. You can't do it malnourished.
The enemy.
That's a good quote.
Yeah. You have to feel your heart. I used to go in God's presence. Greg Holtz used to lead us in praise and worship. And he fasted a lot and prayed for hours every day. So when he led you in, when he sang, and he would usher you right on into God's presence. And I didn't do like Greg. I didn't pray for hours like that. I was studying, boy. That was my thing.
I read the book, Better Way to Play. Pray. Mm-hmm. Pray. Andrew Womack says, actually, reading the word is prayer. Praising God is prayer.
Yeah.
Just talking with him is prayer. And then there's times, the main prayer should be praise and worship anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he was saying that that's a form of prayer. It's not that you have to pray an hour a day, unless God leads you, mm-hmm. or that you've got to do 4 hours a day. Legally, that's wrong. Prayer is total communion with God, mm-hmm. God all the time.
Yeah.
And it's nothing wrong if God tells you to pray in the Spirit for an hour, because mm-hmm. he's telling you personally. But you don't tell David you got to do it.
No, I'm not the Holy Spirit.
I'm talking to you.
But, you know, God, that's just what happened. He prayed a lot, and he fasted.
And you was in the Word.
Yeah, and I did it too, but not like him. I was studying.
But he said...
back in those days, I studied scriptures. Yeah. That was when I was studying scriptures, not chapters. So when I would go in the Lord's presence, I just collapsed.
Yeah.
I have in my mind the things that...
You didn't have to say anything. You're just in his presence.
Yeah, I couldn't stand up. So what happened, sometimes I would think of thoughts I wanted to ask the Lord next time I was in his presence. Well, when I get in his presence, I'm too weak to tell him. Years later, fast forward, many years later, the Lord told me to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 today, mm-hmm. in the middle of the day, 5 at night. So when I, after 3 months of that, mm-hmm. I got in his presence one day like I used to. And then I could compose myself and ask questions. My spirit man was stronger because mm-hmm. I had a knowledge of the word. I had his word in me. And I was able to stand in his presence. Sometimes you still fall out, but you can think and you can reason. You can ask questions. Kenneth Copeland said one time that sometimes people want to ask God all these questions when they're in his presence, and they collapse. But when you have when you have his word in you, you can. And
said, Dwight Moody, who everybody knows, he's got 2 Bible schools right now and lit thousands of people to the Lord. All the time he spent was from 45 minutes a day. That's the way God led him. He spent in prayer, reading the word, and that's the time he was out worshiping. But that's what 45 minutes was all it took for him, because that's what God directed him. And that was his prayer time, and that was his word time. I'm sure he had other times, but that was basically what God
That makes you strong. when you know God.
But with you, it was the five chapters.
Yeah. He had to, that was kind of like a crash course. But mm-hmm. That was something that I did from then on. Now I study the word all day.
Because
I may listen to
it.
Yeah. I just, I didn't think about listening to the word. They didn't have a technology like they do now. And, but I listen to it all day. And chapters, it helps you for what you got to do. Well, we're going to stop here. I'm going to pick up at Acts chapter 3 next time. But, yeah, we'll be in Acts chapter 3 for a moment next time when I come back. But God is moving by His Spirit. When we know Him, knowing God makes the difference. He can cause us to do the wisest possible thing for every moment. And don't never underestimate what God can do with one word. Just whatever, one assignment, one thought, one book that you write. God put it in His hands, and He can multiply it.
Andrew Wyman in that book was talking about some of the most powerful words in the Bible, as far as prayer, was peace be still.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus used, they were three words or four words. So
that works good on thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, and cyclones.
Prayer is just a lifestyle.
It works. It works good when you're in trouble. All right, we'll stop there. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You and I praise You for what You're doing, for what You're up to. Help us to do all that's in Your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.